How many of y'all are glad to know it is well with your souls? And if Jesus is in your soul, you have the ability to live a full and abundant life no matter what happens. Because I want to tell you something. Something's going to happen. How many of y'all understand something's going to happen? And if we look at life, some things are going to happen that you like. How many of y'all have had at least a couple of things that happened to you that you liked? I hope one of them, if you chose to be married, was who you married. How many of y'all have had some things that have happened to you that you don't like? It didn't go well. And the combination of all of that ends and becomes a part of living. It's a part of what? Life. It is a part of life. It's part of living. But you and I have Jesus Christ in our life. Those of you who have received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you good news. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today, guess what? That relationship is still available. Aren't y'all glad we get to say that message? That relationship is still available. Now, there'll be a day when the trumpet blows and it's all settled, that guess what? Those who speak at that time, they're not going to be able to say there's an opportunity for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There comes a time that those relationships will have their consequences. And the consequence of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is heaven, the glory of God, and living with Jesus Christ in His glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. But until then, we got some things to do. Amen. How many of y'all glad to know we got some things to do? So whether you're a believer or not, there are some principles that apply out of today's message. But I'm going to tell you, you really can't practice them till you receive Jesus. You really can't practice them until you receive Jesus. I believe this. You will never know true full love. You will never know peace. You will never really encounter, you never will really get joy until you understand that Jesus Christ, the God who made you and created you, has sustained you and put you in motion of life. So I encourage you, if you haven't done that, receive that. Go with me to the third chapter, 1 Corinthians. And they're having some problems out here. Having some problems in 1 Corinthians. How many of y'all have noticed that 1 Corinthians is full of problems? How many of y'all are full of problems? How many of y'all married a problem? You see how bold I am about that when she's not in here? No, we have problems in life, and how do we get through them and work through them? Now the problem today is this. Guess what? You need to realize that the message of Jesus Christ is where the strength is, not the messenger of Jesus Christ. Now, you ladies, how many of you ladies have ever ordered a package from somewhere? You know, new dress coming in, you've been online, you got a special item, and I need to be careful with the ladies here, especially you men. How many of y'all have ever had to order a part, or you had something you were working on, and it was going to come in, and you were anxiously awaiting who? UPS or FedEx or something. You were actually anxiously awaiting them. So Reverend Jim, I tell people, you know, I said, and I got to be careful with the ladies, because sometimes the ladies get a little liking to the UPS man if he's good looking. You know what I mean? Or the FedEx guy. But I've never been excited about the UPS man, Mama T. You know what I'm talking about? I'm excited about the package. It's here. It's arrived. How many of y'all have been excited about a package? Well, that's the gospel. That's the package, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in our lives. How many of y'all understand? The power of God goes in our lives. Well, here's old Apostle Paul. He's frustrated as he can be. The power of God has been released to the Corinthians church, and guess what they want to do? They want to argue and quarrel among themselves. And Paul's kind of, let's go to that third chapter. He comes to his wit's end. You can see, if you will, with me, if you imagine and allow your Holy Spirit imagination to take you there, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, Apostle Paul was advanced. You know on your smartphone where you can push that microphone and talk and it'll text for you? Paul wrote a lot like that. They called it a translator or a scribe back then. Paul would just bring him in. Since he didn't have a smartphone, he would tell him what to say and he'd write it down. Well, Sheriff, it seems to be at this moment of time, Paul's voice is emphatic. You know what I mean by that word? He's pretty tense here. Because, you know, sometimes people get impressed with themselves. Have y'all ever noticed that? How many of y'all know anybody that's kind of got impressed with themselves? How many of y'all just love having dinner with folks that are impressed with themselves? Isn't that just a beautiful, wonderful experience? Just sit down. There's just some people I don't ask how are you, because they're going to tell me all the great things they've done for 5 minutes. And you know what? I know them and know they weren't that great. But they're going to tell you about it, right? Well, we get impressed with ourselves. How many? And if we're not impressed with ourselves, how many of you all get overly impressed with somebody else?
Come on, work with me here a little bit. This is not a sitting chair, stair church. You got to kind of get involved here in the message time. You know, we want you to burn some calories during worship. We're fighting the obesity problem in America. We want you to move. Now check us out. How many of y'all been impressed with somebody, and then when you got to know them, they weren't as impressive as you originally thought? We tend to get impressed with people. And God, here's what's amazing. You know, Dr. Adam, we tend to get impressed with people and not in awe of Jesus. Jesus is the most impressive. I mean, as a flesh being, Jesus is it for me. You know what I mean? You know, why in the world do you follow Jesus? I just think that he got up out of death. I just think that's a marvelously cool trick. I just haven't seen any other beings do it. That God would so incarnate his flesh, that he would so be the reality in the absolute authority of God, that death could not keep his hold on him. And so that also flows into us. That's not going to hold us down. So we're free to live. Now think about it for a minute. How many of you are utilizing the life that God has already given you? Kind of ponder that. How many of y'all could kind of stick your hand up and say, you know, I probably could receive and release a little more of what God's doing in me? Can you? Yeah, I can. Can you imagine if you fully let, I mean, just dream about that for a minute. The power of the resurrection is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all believe that? But you know what tends to happen? How many of y'all have ever gotten sidetracked by other issues? Three of us. The rest of y'all lying. How many of y'all have ever gotten sidetracked? What happens, right? Sidetracked by worldly things. Momentary things. They only last for a moment. How many of y'all realize that life for us on earth is really a moment? And so we kind of got moment with eternity flowing through us at the same time. So it kind of makes us unusual beings, doesn't it? And so Paul writes, understanding the power the church has, and he gets a little frustrated here. It's okay to be spiritual and frustrated. How many of y'all ever get frustrated? How many of y'all are raising children? How many of y'all are raising children? Come on, raise your hand if you're raising children. How many of y'all are in the intensive children raising thing? See, there used to be a plan. You raise your kids, and about 18 or 20, they leave the house. Never to return again other than on high holidays. I know we've changed that a little bit today. Now we raise them, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in them, and they come back and live in our basements. But there are better plans than this, okay? That we would catch hold of who we are. We would become what God has made us to be. That we would live. We get sidetracked by worldly things. Now, note. Paul begins to write to them because they were pretty puffed up. He said, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I kind of want you to just think, if you are an infant in Christ, you know, you just started following Christ, it's cool to be an infant, right? Let me ask you a question. If you were like 60 and wearing diapers, that's a bad illustration. Let me go back this way. If you were like 25 years old and still wearing diapers, would this appear unusual? Come work with me here. And I know somebody, see, I always get these brilliant people. Well, if you... Without any problems, okay? Would that be unusual? Yeah. Because who wears diapers? And on babies, diapers look what? They're appropriate. I mean, you don't ever look at some, you know, 2-year-old and go, man, I can't believe you got diapers on. Because 2-year-olds sometimes wear what? Or now I've noticed, you know, the technology of baby rearing stuff has blown my absolute mind. I was watching one of our young mothers the other day. She had this carriage with her baby in it, or, you know, carrier thing. And Mark Williams just blew me away. She went to her car and just snapped it in. And I said, I'd have had another child if they'd had snap-in car seats. I literally, the day that the car seat came out of my car, I took it out in the field, and I like to shoot stuff. And we used it. We took the child out of the car seat, and then it was a great target. I hated car seats, but now Snap-ons. Can you imagine that, Harvey? I mean, you pack your kid and get ready to go in the car. Snap and rock right on in. Yeah. But, I mean, infant stuff is pretty cool for what? Infants. I mean, like, I don't see a lot of y'all, you know, hanging out right now, listening to the sermon, sucking a pacifier, unless you're what? Infant. Like, Wayne, right now, if you had a big old pacifier in your mouth, we would think you're probably weird. Now, how many of y'all do this spiritually, though? You've been living Christ for 10, 20, 15 years, and you still got infant behavior. That also looks as odd. You know, after a while you follow Jesus, you got to wise up and say, you know what, I'm not going to practice some of the things that used to kill my life. I'm not going to have some of the attitudes and the behaviors. And we're going to deal with two of them today that are just deadly. They're just deadly stuff, and I'm going to encourage you all, get this out of your life if you're like this, because it's taking away from what you could have. Get this stuff out. Well, he said, I can't even address you as spiritual people because you act like people in the world. You don't act like you've been changed by Christ. Okay, now check this out. And he goes on and he says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it yet. Indeed, you're still not ready. Now, let's go back to his infant metaphor here. How many of y'all have ever seen like a six-month-old just sitting there over there at Longhorn with a big old flow filet right in front of him with a knife? Six-month-old. Not happening. Why? Not ready. Now, an older man like me, that looks normal, doesn't it? Of course, I don't want a little filet. I want a half a cow. I mean, if you're going to clog your arteries, clog them. You know, there they are. You know, you just, It looks what? Normal, unless you're a vegetarian, okay? That's what I'm saying. So steak, ready for something meaty. He said you weren't even ready for this, for the real tough stuff yet. I gave you milk, and you can't even handle the milk. Now, listen, church, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you've got to step into some of the attitudes of Christ. And here's what had happened in the church of Corinth. They were claiming Christ, but no change in attitude and behavior. And here was one of the sorriest things. They were worshiping what would not last. How many of y'all have ever worshiped what will not last? Getting all caught up and sidetracked by things that are just sideline issues. Here, I'll go back to a meal. How many of y'all get excited about the garnish they put on the plate at a restaurant? Huh? How many of y'all have ever gone like this to me? I'll tell you what, man, this is some of the coolest looking garnish I've ever seen in my life. I've always asked, why do you put them green leaves on my plate? Why do I need that on top of my plate? Because I kick mine off. Mayor, I've never eaten my garnish. Have you ever eaten your garnish? Have you ever, after you finished your meal, have you ever gone, man, that was a great steak, but this garnish right here. Okay. But hold on, in life, how many of us miss the steak because we get trapped in the garnish? And we make garnishing issues the issue. And you know what the Bible says? He said, live at peace with one another to the best of your ability. And that means this. You better understand that Jesus is the cause and not the side issue. Jesus is the main thing. Now, hear me clearly, because we are entering a moment inside Christianity in the 21st century. And my job as a pastor is to give you the best guidance that I can possibly give you. And you all better be praying. And because I'm not infallible, Jesus is infallible, I'm not. The best guidance throughout the 21st century is the church shapes in this generation. Is that fair? It's a very scary generation, because there's a lot of people in Christian, we're celebrity-oriented culture. Would you agree with me? Would you agree that in the United States of America, we dig celebrity gossip? If not, why is there all those gossip magazines at the grocery store when you walk by? They got to be selling. They don't just post them because nobody buys them. And people are all caught up in celebrities. Here's the problem in the church. Pastors are not created to be celebrities. They're created to be servants. They're just mere guides, okay? We've even done this in the great game of football. We've turned, used to coaches were coaches. You know, Bear Bryant didn't spend a lot of time with the media. He spent a lot of time coaching the team. And now even coaches have been turned into what? Celebrities. Singers have been turned into what? Even some college professors are what? Celebrity. Used to, I mean, Walter Cronkite. How many of y'all lived back during the days of Walter? Most of us were kids in here. You know, some of us weren't, but most of us were. Yeah. As a kid, I remember Walter Cronkite. John Paul, you remember him, don't you? I mean, watch this. I still remember a black and white TV. Is that not crazy? I mean, I'm ancient. I went to high school without a cell phone. Can you imagine such perils? It was great because you never had to call your girlfriend's mother. Here's the deal. And you could say, hey, we weren't near a phone. Now you don't have that excuse in adolescence. Well, man, here's Walter Cronkite. Hey, you know, I never looked at Walter Cronkite and said, man, there's a celebrity. He was a news guy. And now I look at the news personnel. We've turned them into what? We got newscasters that look like Hollywood starlets. Not newscasters. Newscasters were just kind of, because guess what they gave? The news. And guess what the news was? What it was, not how we interpreted it. Y'all remember that? Today, July the 23rd of 1973. That's the way it is. Now, what's exciting about that? Nothing. We still had Barbara Walters. She's been around since Noah. Can't get rid of her. She's generationally. She just keeps on going. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just think how many generations have heard. Whoa, 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 whoa. See what I'm saying? We've turned everybody into celebrities. And let me tell you what they were doing in the church. They were turning the presenters into celebrities. I want to thank you, Hillview. You all have done a good job letting every pastor be who they've been. If you're new to the Hillview experience, your pastors are just like you. They are sinners saved by grace. If you don't mind, just so that we can help everybody understand who we are, if you would introduce yourself to the person next to you. Hello, I'm a sinner saved by grace. If you all would just do that, go ahead and practice that for a minute. I'm a sinner saved by grace. All right, now watch. Let's check out something here. Did you not just confess the truth? And what am I that talks a lot? I'm a sinner saved by grace that talks a lot so that other sinners might be saved by. Now, I want you to understand that, man. That's where it is. That's the gig. We're all in this thing together. Now, since we're all in this thing together, one of the things we got to watch out is turning certain people into being more spiritual than other people. We all are the same spiritual. We've been made righteous by Jesus Christ and not activity of our own. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, I get that. Now, you say you get that, but boy, that's hard to get in Kentucky. My fellow co-laborer here in his life pastored up in Owensboro area. You had to do some funerals, didn't you, along the way like me? People die. I don't know what it is. People die. How many of y'all understand people die? You guess what's going to happen today? Somebody going to die. Guess what else going to happen today? Somebody probably going to be born. People keep messing around. Here they come, baby after baby. Y'all mess around a lot here at Hillview. I've never seen so many snap-on carriages in my life. And not one time. Jim's been here 23 years. Not one time have I preached Genesis 1:27, be fruitful and multiply. I've been scared to preach it. I thought, Lord have mercy, all the kids we got now, I lay down on Genesis 1:27, be fruitful and multiply. We'll have to build two more buildings just to house the bed babies. But I'm glad y'all like it. You should. God made it. And I like a God that said, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Glad y'all are following God's command. Now, when you start making people celebrities, you lose the reality of who is God. God is it, not us. We think it's our own goodness. It's not. Jim, how many times did you hear him do this? I've heard him do this 1,000 times through my ministry career. They go to the casket, tap it, boom, boom. Depends what county you're in. In Warren County, it's 2 taps. Down in Franklin Simpson, it's 4 taps. The tapping, I don't know if it changes the situation or what. It doesn't. Sheriff, you've heard this. You've had to go to a lot of funerals. Well, now, I don't know if they knew the Lord or not, but I tell you what, they's good. They's good man, good person, good person, good person. Old Joe's good. Good as gold. And then they give an example. Well, my truck, I ran it off the road, and he went and got his tractor and pulled me up. Now, where have you all read, if you pull somebody's truck out of the ditch, you will go to heaven? But I'm telling you, people believe this. I know some of you go say, well, you harp on that all the time, because people believe that. And then every once in a while, I get these new studies come in. And this was from people who claim to know that they've read the Bible, and about 14% of them said that you go to heaven by being a good person.
That means they've never read the Bible. You go to heaven because Jesus Christ came into your life and saved you of your sins. And Jesus Christ died on the cross. And Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. And God Almighty wants to bring you to heaven. Now, that ought to bring you good news. God is on your side. God is in your life. And God is pulling for you every moment you take a breath. That ought to fire you up. But guess what we do? We get sidetracked on worldly things, on things, garnishes. It's like my wife. She eats salads. Why? And now she's got, one day, she's trying to make me healthy. I appreciate it. I appreciate her doing that. She's going to be so frustrated if she goes before I do. I mean, I'm really going to feel like she got ripped off. She ate cardboard all of her life, and here I am, cholesterol and living. You know, who knows? Oh, she frustrates me sometimes. She brought me a salad. You know, I'm used to lettuce. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just lettuce. Now, I think if you're going to eat a salad, you ought to put a lot of Thousand Island on it. With some of them breadcrumbs toasted. That's a salad. With that fake bacon. I like those. She looked like she'd gone to the backyard and pulled weeds out of the backyard, thrown it in a bowl and splashed some oil on top of it. She said, it's good for me. I said, I'd rather die than eat weeds. But she gets inside. I'm like, that sideline, it's garnish. I want somebody to hold on to. Jesus wants to bring you a life that you can hold on to, man. And we chase things that don't matter because we think other people are better than we are. How many of y'all ever think other people were better than we are? One of the things at Hillview, man, y'all are pretty good at that. Y'all are pretty good at that. But listen, we got to continue to work on it, man. Never get puffed up. Every human being is important. How many of y'all understand that? Well, you didn't understand this. Paul gets aggravated about this, and he's a smart guy. Okay, if y'all want to talk about the Bible, I was with one of my dear intellectual friends. I love him. He said, Ayers, why do you stay on the cross and resurrection so much? I said, because I think Paul was sharper than you, and that's what he preached. Paul's an intellectual preaching the cross and resurrection. That speaks volumes to me. You know what Paul realized? I'm going to stay in the steak because the garnish won't fill you up. And you know what some of us do? We get on sideline issues. We break relationships with people over the stupidest things in the world. We get on social media and say things that we would never say in person, true or false. By the way, I asked you all pray last week for Rick Warren, a fellow co-laborer in the gospel who lost his son to suicide. His heart is devastating and is broken. Literally. When I read some of the blogs of what people were saying about Pastor Rick Warren, and these are people who supposedly know Christ, I became nauseated. That they would be saying harsh things to a brother that lost his son because their theological system and identity doesn't align exactly alike. Now, let me help you. If you're one of those people, not only do I question you, I encourage you today to really learn who Jesus is. Because Jesus has been around longer than 500 years. And Jesus didn't go to seminary. And Jesus is not impressed with seminary professors, nor is he impressed with alphabets that we put in front of our name. He is not impressed with us. He is so unimpressed with us that he came to save us. I was appalled, deeply shocked, that people who claim Christ would have no compassion. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, one of the things that automatically starts coming out of you is what? Yeah. One of the things you do is quit being Barney Fife. How many of y'all have ever seen, I call them Barney Fife Christians. I had this happen at Hillview. I had somebody call up and they said, Pastor Ayers, I got a serious issue. I don't know if y'all know this, but there's several thousand people that go to church here. Do y'all realize that? Did y'all realize I don't know what everybody does? Did y'all realize that ain't my business? Well, I had this lady. She's from another church. She called up and she said, I just want to tell you, I don't know what you're teaching over at that church, but we was over there at Old Charlie's, and I saw somebody who had a Hillview bulletin drinking a beer. I said, which one of our pastors was it? And so then I just love entertaining stupid people. Now listen, if you're like this, be offended. You are an absolute imbecile in the kingdom of God. And it's time somebody tell you.
Those are not Jesus' issues. That is garbage. And we're missing the stake that changes the world. I'm sorry to get so intense, but these things are intense. She calls me and she goes, I said, well, what was her name? I don't know. It's like Barney Fife. Don't y'all remember that episode on Andy Griffin? He finally called a criminal, you know, citizen's arrest, citizen's arrest, citizen's arrest. Some of you spend your time so much on everybody else that you can never see the reality of God in your own life. And it's horrible because guess what? You're not injuring that other person, but you're missing the entirety of the gospel. That Jesus loves us and cares for us. And that's why Paul gets intense here. He said, you're acting like the world. Let me tell you what was killing the church. You ready for this? So some people don't think it's serious. I think it's serious. You're still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere human beings? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another one says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Jamie Ward and I, 3 years ago, we had some pastors that came and observed Hillview Heights Church, which is always a dangerous thing. They were not from our state. They came on a Sunday, and they stayed through Wednesday, and they watched Jamie and I both preach. And Thursday morning, we were doing evaluation, follow-up. What have you learned? What can you use? How do you translate this body of Christ? You know, all that leadership jazz. And one of the preachers looked and said, how do you and Jamie keep from getting in a fight? Well, it's just, it never occurred to Jamie and I. They go, what do you mean? And he goes, well, don't you all get jealous of each other preaching? I said, no, we all got big boy britches. We don't wear diapers. Jamie preaches the Word of God, and I preach the Word of God, and we preach the same Word of God in different ways, and Pastor Jeff preaches, and Pastor Shane preaches, and all those who need to preach, and we're not about who's preaching, we're about what they're preaching. And I thank you all as a congregation that y'all don't run around and do this, and if you start doing this, I'm going to haul off and get mad. I follow Jamie. I follow Steve. I follow Jeff. Can you imagine what a nightmare that would be in this church? And if you know any of your staff members, you know better to follow any of them. You want to follow me? I'll get you in trouble. You better follow the Jesus in me. And some of y'all are grinning because you went to school and you followed me and we got in trouble together. You followed me and we did not find heaven. What did we find? The principal's office. It's following Jesus. And Paul, but let's get this out of our lives. Two things that'll kill you. Jealousy and what? Quarreling. You know why people wrote awful, obnoxious. I can't even believe that human beings, I don't have the ability to go to where these people went. I find that people are brave on social media. Everybody's brave. Y'all notice how anonymous people are brave. Well, if you believe that stuff, put your name on it. I'm cool with that. If you believe Rick Warren's a false prophet, put your name on it. But I tell you what, if he's not, God's going to put your name on your head. And you better be very careful as a mere human being when you start talking about other human beings, because no other human being knows the soul of another human being. And boy, I tell you guys, just beware of this. This young generation of preachers, I've heard some of the cockiest stuff I've ever heard in my life, and I came from a cocky group of preachers. But I tell you what, I fear God. And when it comes to judging a human being, I believe I'll let that be God's department. What do you think? And I believe you've got to be very careful when a man points their finger at somebody and says, this is what God said, and this is what he'll do to you. He better have said it, and he better do to you. Because most of this stuff I'm hearing, God didn't say that. They said that. And there's quarrels and jealousy. Now, two things you need to watch in your life. Stay away from jealousy. You know why people are jealousy? Because they're not living their life. Live your life. How many of y'all are glad about your life? Be glad about your life. Guess what? I praise God for Pastor Warren. I'm glad God's done what God's done with Pastor Warren. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's got that life. I wouldn't want that life. That's his life. I don't want to go in Washington. Can you all imagine me praying the inauguration prayer? I mean, with all my politically correct sob, can you imagine that one? I mean, we'd have newscasters having heart attacks. MSNBC would just blow up all at one time. Chris Masters and I would get in a fight before I left. That's not my call. You know what I love? I get to be a pastor in Kentucky. I love being a pastor in Kentucky. I get to wear jeans and boots. I go turkey hunting with my members. People in New York, they don't go turkey hunting with their members. See what I'm saying? Be okay with how God's made you. If I could just get that to you today, that God created you, God made you, God redeemed you, it's you that we need and not somebody else. Be you. Be you. Be you. Chris Allen, there's only one Chris Allen. Thank you, Jesus. But let me tell you. No, I'm being serious now. We need that Chris Allen. Our community is not the same without you being on our news. It's a different world. You're a part. That's your part. Make sense? And nobody said anything, Chris, and I know that you probably got some policy. You know, media, y'all got all kinds of regulations and stuff, all that stuff. But, you know, thank God in the storms, you know, when stuff's coming our way, you're really paying attention. And you've helped some people. You know, when you say dive in the basement, I usually go dive in the basement. You know, that time we was having that 98 storm and you hid under the table, it occurred to me that this is serious. And what I appreciated was the genuine panic in your own voice. Because as Forrest Gump would say, I'm not a smart man. And we're fixing to have a tornado. Guess where I am? I'm out with another associate pastor who's no longer with us, who has absolutely no sense. We're standing in the middle of the parking lot. Y'all know it's not smart to stand in the middle of the parking lot when a tornado's coming. Now I'm looking, I'm saying, you know what? It gets kind of green when there's a tornado. Boy, it gets kind of green. And then hail just starts falling out. I thought, it's Revelation right here. You know, it says it's going to be God's back. There it goes. It starts beating the school. I'm still outside as the hail is beating Lost River Elementary School. It's at that moment that it occurs to me that these hail chunks are about 2.5 pounds. And if that hits you on top of the head, that could be serious. We dive into the old church here, and I mean everybody had come here. I'd never seen anything like it. I thought that I had been sucked up in a cloud in the storm and placed on a set of Green Acres. Y'all remember that show? I mean, Mr. Haney was down there. All of them were down there. And there were parrots down there, parakeets down there, and people brought cats in there. Hey, listen, you're in a tornado? Leave your cat in the house. And let the will of God determine the situation. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. You guess what? Chris was serious. He fulfilled his role. Now, let me tell you what Paul said we need to do. He says, y'all get all caught up in who's saying it, and you better get all caught up in what's been said. And this is what's been said. Your life can change in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to close on this. We got to be about God's business. Now, if you're in business, this is a business principle. This is a school principle. This is a young person's principle. This is a middle in the road, wherever that is located, principle. This is at the end of the journey principle. Ben, this is a principle that works for people from Barron County. What do you think about that? It works no matter what, guys. You ready? He said, y'all get all caught up in who's talking instead of what's being said. And then he bears down in the scripture and he tells us this. After all, what is Paul? And what is Apollos? Are they not mere human beings? What is Jamie Ward? What is Steve Ayers? A human being. And listen, as a married pastor, it helps. I stay humble all the time. Elizabeth did a women's conference years ago, and this lady came up to her, and she's a real holy type lady. And she came up to Elizabeth, and she goes, oh, what is it like to live with pastor? I'm kind of overhearing this. I was waiting for her. It is wonderful. You know what she said? She said, ma'am, it ain't nothing like you think it is. She goes, what do you mean? She said, you see him on Sunday morning for about 6 hours. She said, let me help you. That's the best he is all week long. So I said, mere what? Humans. You know, we forget Paul used the bathroom. I hate to be so crass, but I want y'all to get this. And Apollo did too.
And they got hungry and they had emotions and they had feelings. And here's what amazed me on that Rick Warren deal last week. Nobody imagined that Rick Warren was a father who had lost a son. A human being who had been embraced by a tragedy. They were arguing against him because he wasn't of a certain theological stripe. And I thought, jealousy, quarreling, and the worship of men will always lead to death. And even more than a tag team, you know what we're supposed to be? A brawl, Robert. We're all in this. Not some of us are in this. All of us are in this. Because guess what? I'm going to close right here. And y'all don't think I'm closing, but I'm closing. I see the look in your eye. Oh, yeah. You know what he said? We're mere human beings, and God's got a hold of us, and God's doing great things in us. And he said, after all, what is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned each his task. I planted the seed, Apollo watered it, but God has been making it grow. And so, Billy, we may have to start doing Sunday school class out at your farm. Because people have lost this concept because we don't grow stuff anymore. You see, I understand the Bible because I grew up in the dirt. George, you understand the Bible? You grew up in the dirt. The Bible's a dirt book, not a college book. Tracy, it's a dirt book, Ag man. Now, you're a dirt professor. So you got dirt in classroom. But the Bible is the classroom of life in the dirt. You got a plant, and you got a what? Water. How many of y'all plant garden? Anybody here plant a garden? Anybody here got a garden? Got a garden, great. Is the garden going to be better this year? Yeah, it is. Why? Go on, just think. Water. How many of you farmers are going, we're off to a better start than last year. We have water. And so when we plant, when there's water, now Tracy, he just plants in water. But then there's this water and planting, and who gives the harvest? God does. Brad, when we were out there running a race car in the name of Jesus, man, we're planting seeds of the gospel. And then somebody came along and watered some of those seeds. And sometimes you all watered those seeds, and God gave a harvest, didn't he? In business, you got to do the same thing. Some of you all want to make millions of dollars without planting one seed. Some of you want to make millions of dollars without ever getting in the dirt. And a lot of you who follow Jesus Christ want to see a lot of great things in God, but you never want to plant. You got to plant. You got to take the seed God has given you and plant it in somebody else's life and trust God to water it and grow it. And then God gives the harvest. Everybody cool with that? Yeah. Thank you, Hillview. Thank you for being a great church. One of the things, and listen, we can get better. We have not arrived. If you don't mind, just tell your neighbor, we have not arrived. Come on, please tell them, not arrived. Because the best of my poor inability in math is this. There's 90,000 unchurched people, and we got to plant seeds. And some we're going to plant seeds, and we're going to water seeds, and God's going to harvest those seeds. But everybody's got to be involved in planting and watering for us to see the great things of God. Now, this is just me on a sideline. I get very aggravated at our culture at this point in time. Because people get mad at people that have a great harvest. And guess what they never do? They never go look back and see how they planted. And you know what I've noticed? Not every time, but most of the time, people that have nothing have planted nothing. They've relied on somebody else to plant it for them. And that's the world of our day. Today, here's what we say. Some don't have to plant. Some need to plant a lot. Whoever gets a big harvest, then we ought to just divvy it all out. Isn't that the philosophy of today? That's not God's philosophy. God said, man, you got plant, you got water, and expect what? Harvest, man. Now God's going to bear fruit in your all's lives. Let him bear the fruit. And I think about this. It's kind of interesting this happened when it finally got somewhat warm. Well, that's been troubling for all the global warming people, hadn't it? Been wearing coats in April. Wore a winter coat to Easter because we were overheating. By the way, just let me let you know something. God controls the weather, and God made the planet, and God knows more than the scientists do. And if you are a scientist, I'm so thankful for you because we got some really cool stuff because of what God allowed you to learn. But let me help you. You haven't created anything. You've only taken what's already been created and understood it.
God's in charge. He is sovereign. He is Lord. He is God. And he gives us a mission today. Plant, water, and expect. How many of y'all need that? Listen, those of you that have great marriages, you have great marriages. Why? You planted. Listen, you got to plant forgiveness if you're going to stay married for a long time. Amen? Earl, you and Cindy have been married for, what, 102, 3? What anniversary are we on? It's been a long time. But guess what? You had to have seeds of forgiveness. You had to have seeds of resolve. You had to have seeds of fortitude. There's a lot of seeds in y'all's mix. Y'all didn't stay married by just going, kumbaya, little Earl, kumbaya. That didn't work, did you? You didn't read 10 successful ways to pray, and that's the way you stayed married, did it? No, you had to dig in the dirt with it. Daddy, and it's tough digging in the dirt, and it's tough work, but you got to stay with it. I remember suckering tobacco. Did anybody have the joy in their life of suckering tobacco? Y'all know what I'm talking about? For those of you that never suckered tobacco, if you don't receive Jesus today, that's what you will do in hell for all eternity. Look, it's these little suckers on it. It gets sidelines pulling from the main plant. Little suckers, little sprouts. Did you ever have to do that, Robert? That's good. I remember, I don't know why it was, but the farmers that we worked for, I don't know what their problem was, but they would have the longest rows of tobacco I've ever seen in my life. Now, how many of y'all remember if you had to sucker tobacco? It's always July. Here's the thing I hated about tobacco. It was a holiday crop. You had to set it on Memorial Day, sucker it on July the 4th, and cut it on Labor Day. It's a no-summer plant. If you plan on having fun in the summer, do not raise tobacco. Because you don't get a holiday. Yeah, I remember after July 4th, celebrating the independence of this country. Suckering. Now, never mind, we didn't have no iPods. You couldn't sit out there and groove and sucker. You just heard the big June bugs. I mean, and back then they had June bugs on steroids in the back of them. Whoom, insects flying over you. If you take your shirt off, you get eaten by gnats. $2.50 an hour. Black hands. But guess what was at the end of the row? It depends on what kind of farmer you work for. Let's stay with the water. Depending on whose farming you were on. I don't know why they don't make these today, but they need to make them again. It's the big metal water cooler. Wasn't no plastic igloo cooler. It was a metal igloo. You remember that one? Metal. And it usually had a dent in it somewhere where somebody threw it in the back of the truck. And back then we had milk cartons. Some of you young people, I don't know if you all have ever seen those. They're milk cartons. And you'd take these milk cartons and you would put water in them and you'd freeze them. And there'd be big milk carton chunks of ice in that water. Three of them. And when you got the water cooler in sight, about 98 degrees, 200% humidity, it would sweat. At the end of the row, when you thought it was going to quit, it started calling your name. You could hear it. Drink me. And you think you're going to pass out and you're going to die, and you finally get to the what? I'm telling you, there's no better water than in a metal igloo water cooler at the end of a tobacco patch in a paper cup. I mean, it's like a fine wine. Just pour that water. When it touches your lips, you just hold it. Let your body just recoup. Now, hold on. We got to plant. We got to harvest. We got to cultivate. But by the way, check us out, man. Just check us out. No weed pulling. Huh, isn't that interesting? We plant and we water. We don't pull weeds. You know why? God said we were too dumb to tell the difference between the weeds and the plants. I mean, he didn't say dumb like I would, but that's what he meant. He said, the wheat and the tares will grow up together. You just plant and water. I'll separate them when it's time to separate them. You don't separate them. That's not your job. Your job is to plant and to water. Now, can you imagine the church in the United States if we just plant and water and didn't do so much weed pulling? If we just planted and watered to the glory of God, let me tell you, live your life, because at the end of it, there's a big water cooler. And it's flowing. And it's flowing full of life. But until we get to the water cooler, we got to encourage one another each and every day up and down the rows of life. Amen. So plant water and expect harvest. Amen. Y'all get it today? I'm finished. I don't know if that's short or long. I know it's done. Makes sense? But here's the deal. Some of you today need to receive what has already been planted in your life. You need to receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, wouldn't this be a great day to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, save me of my sins? How many of y'all think that might be a good idea? You get to go to heaven. That's a big benefit. Some of you go, well, I don't believe in hell. That's fine. It believes in you. What are you going to do when you're there? You do not exist because I did not believe in you. By the way, that ain't going to work. By the way, you can pick it all you want in hell. You're still not getting out. You can share all your opinions. Maybe that's what hell is. It's a group of people listening to everything they believe for all eternity, knowing that it never would achieve what Jesus had said. Here's what Jesus said. Any person whosoever receives my forgiveness, my grace, my new life, shall live with me forever. How many of y'all are ready today to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I receive it. If you've done that, let's take the first step. You need to be what? Baptized. Man, you saw three faithful people. Can y'all answer this question to me? I want to answer. How can two beautiful seven-year-old twins understand after they receive Jesus that they need to be baptized, and people with graduate degrees can't make that connection yet? They get it. They read the Bible. Jesus said, be baptized what? Be baptized. Be amazed how obedience works. Just following. That's part of the watering process. Makes sense? You know how that tobacco finally got suckered? Just keep pulling suckers off. And eventually, guess what? You get through the patch. And they say, all done. And you say, thank you, Lord. You know how you get through life? Plant, water, and expect harvest. And one day, guess what you're going to hear? You'd be at the end of that gate. Lord would be sitting there with a Dixie cup of ice water. And he'd say, Wayne, come on in, my good and faithful servant. We finished. You finished your leg. So I want to encourage you guys, man, live your life in such a way that you're going to finish your life to the glory of God. Amen? When it's all said and done at your last breath, Jesus will say, come on in. You did a good job at your leg of the race. And we're all in this together. Make sense? Nobody is more important than anybody else. Anybody tries to convince you that they're somewhat spiritually special, here's what I'm telling you as your pastor. Beware. By the way, all this theology that looks so intellectual, it's not intellectual. I dealt with it back in the early 80s. It's nothing new. It's nothing fancy. And it's not a new revelation. Nothing new to it. It's not a research. There's one thing that works. Jesus. Death on a cross and risen from the grave. Have you received him and do you believe? If not, life cannot happen. Let's receive him. Let's stand together. We're going to come forward. Some of you coming for baptism. Some of you coming to receive Christ. Some of you coming to just pray for others. Let's pray. Lord, today you've delivered a great, great truth to us. So, Lord, as we plant right now, we ask anybody who hasn't received Jesus, Lord, that you would absolutely convince them to receive Christ. And you would bring them forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, Lord, we ask anybody, they know that they believe in Jesus, they've received his grace, but they haven't been baptized yet, Lord. We ask you to convince them of the importance of that, Lord Jesus, and bring them forward. Y'all hold still. It's an altar. It's important. People's lives are being changed. And let's come and pray for one another that we might plant and water and expect a great harvest in God. Amen? Plant, water, and expect a great harvest in God. All right, listen. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open for us to come and pray together. So respond and love one another, and let's come together. And if you haven't received Christ, we want you to receive him. If you haven't been baptized, we want you to come and be baptized. And so just let God speak in your life. In the name of Jesus, amen.